Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Mickey Badlamenti, discipleship pastor here at Rock Point Community Church. Our goal in the messages we share is to consistently present God's truth in ways that will challenge you, bring you new perspective, and ultimately lead you into closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wherever you're listening from, we hope this message encourages you in your faith. We also welcome you to visit us anytime you're in the Detroit area. Our Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m. and include a full range of children's programs, as well as a ministry specifically for children with special needs. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at rockpoint.org for more information.
Ladies, would you please stand if you're a mother? We want to acknowledge you. Stay standing if you would, please, and we'd like to have the rest of you on if we all stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Reading John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus is saying. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd really known me, you would have known my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father? The Father is in me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does this work, does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work that you've seen me do. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us today out of your scripture, that our hearts would be open to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And for your mothers, I really hope that words of affirmation are your love language, because that's all we have for you today. So some can say, why haven't we made a more big issue of it, as some places will do. And part of the reason why is really two reasons. One is that a lot of times I deal with women who have either lost children and this time is difficult for them, or have never been able to bear children and this time is difficult for them, and we try to be sensitive to that issue. The second thing is as is always the case, whether it's Father's Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, whatever else, our primary purpose is to honor God in what we do. But that doesn't mean we can't honor you, and we do, and we appreciate you so much, because the reality is, if you didn't exist, okay, so... we've been in a series entitled Lies. It was supposed to be 5 weeks. It's turned into about 17, 18 weeks. Some of you knew, thought that you'd spend eternity in this series. It is ending today, and we start a new one next week. Today, we're dealing with the lies about truth. And this one's a little bit different than some of the other ones. There's a statement that has been attributed to Winston Churchill, but actually comes from Jonathan Swift originally in its form. Churchill's version was, a lie is halfway around the world before truth gets its pants on. The variation of what was written in Jonathan Swift's The Art of Political Lying, he wrote, falsehood flies and the truth comes limping after it. This is emphasizing the saying in either one, at which speed that falsehoods can spread and be believed, while the truth, even if it is eventually revealed, can take longer to gain acceptance. And so lies, for whatever reason, and I think part of it is because of the nature of mankind itself and who we are. I think we are broken people in a broken world. And as a result, we are oriented towards lies and deception and towards those things that are salacious or negative to someone else, because it builds up things about ourselves. And so those things move a lot quicker around our society, and especially in a modern society with social media, with alternate facts and fake news, as you want to call it, whatever you want to term you want to use, It's become more of an issue to try to discern. And this whole series has been about discernment and trying to understand those things. In the past, Americans, at least particularly, viewed God as the basis for truth and morality. Not anymore. New study shows that most Americans reject any absolute boundaries regarding their morality, with almost 60% of adults surveyed believing instead that moral truth is up to the individual to decide. According to findings from Dr. George Barna, belief in absolute moral truth rooted in God's word is rapidly eroding amongst all American adults, whether churched or unchurched, every political segment, every age group. Even among those who identify God as their source of truth, their substantial rejection of any absolute standard of truth and morality in American culture. And the most stunning, perhaps, shows a rejection of God's truth and absolute moral standards by American Christians. Those who are supposed to hold these standards the most, especially evangelicals, who are defined as those who believe the Bible to be true and the reliable word of God, they're just as likely to reject these things by 46%, and only a minority of born-again Christians, 43%, still embrace absolute truth. The study found that the pull of secularism of this idea is especially strong among younger Americans, and for those under 30, who I love deeply, you guys are the best, but this is saying here that you are less likely to select God as the basis of truth, only 31% of that cohort, and more likely to say that moral standards are decided by the individual, 60%. Jeff Myers writes in his new book, Truth Changes Everything. He says, quote, "We live in a world where we cannot go a single day without hearing that truths are based on how we see things, our perspective, rather than on what exists to be seen. Truth is not out there to be found. It's in here," he's saying, "to be narrated." And so let's start with the lies in regards to truth. Lies in regards to truth are multiple and many, but let's start it with this. The lies are that truth is subjective. It's not objective fact. It's subjective. Variable. Truth is a social construct. So it changes by culture to culture, allegedly, and it's just a result of our society. The most significant one is that it's personal. It's my truth. And therefore, it's personal and perspective. This has impacted everything from gender to politics to beliefs to identity to so many things within our society and shown such massive confusion. Again, one of the indications of evil, thrown massive confusion into things. Here's an interesting side point. This is just a little small side point here. There's been studies that have been done that found there are actually certain universal truths depending on the culture still. For example, they found that people cutting in line is seen to be wrong. Doesn't matter where you're at in the world, anywhere, anytime. Cutting in line is just viewed as something wrong and offensive and worthy of death. Okay? There's a lot of other things out there like that that are in fact universal truths in all cultures. We know from this and because of this that it's not a social construct. That it's not just something of our society and subjective, that it's not just personal. There's something about truth that is actually objective, and the important part of that, of that objectivity, matters much to us in our lives. In fact, there are certain things that we want that objective truth in place with. I drive a 2009 Pontiac G8 GT, and it's an older car, obviously, but I've taken care of it. It's in pristine condition. And I just enjoy the vehicle because there's something about having an older thing and keeping it in good shape as it gets older. You know, you want to do that to old things. There's something redemptive about that, all right? The fact that it has 355 horsepower has nothing to do with it, okay? So recently, I found that there was an issue. I could feel it. When you have a car for that long and you're familiar with it, that's the other thing. You're kind of, it's a friend. You can feel it. And there was something off with this. And I could feel it was kind of pulling off a bit. So I take it to the shop and they check it out and they say, yeah, you're out of alignment. That's your camber bolts, the rear camber bolts. The guy looks at me and said something I never thought I'd ever say another man say to me. Your rear needs adjusting. And I thought, okay. They looked at it, but they said the bolts were frozen because of the age of the vehicle, and they couldn't order any new parts, and they were afraid to tear those parts off because they couldn't get them from their supplier. And their policy was if they can't get it from current supply because it's of the age of the vehicle, then they won't put them on. They won't be responsible. I said, well, what do I do? They said, well, there's a mom and pop shop down the street. If you can find something on the internet and go down there, then they can probably put it on for you and fix it up. And so it's like, okay, so that's what I'm going to have to do. I've got to go on down there and get these parts taken care of. Now, when it comes to something like this, I don't want my mechanic's truth. I want the truth of what the situation is. I don't want him saying, well, here's my general sense of maybe what your problem is going to be. It could be this, it could be that, or here's, you know, I haven't looked at your vehicle at all, but I think it must be your tire, you know, that's just an issue. I want the truth of what is there. And there's an objective truth. The camber bolts are either frozen or they're not. They're either working or they're not. And if they're not, that's a problem for me. I can't get into alignment. And that has serious issues for not just the health of the vehicle, for my personal health. We have the same thing with our medical doctors. We don't go to a medical doctor and he refuses to look at x-rays. He refuses to do an MRI. She refuses to examine any of the material that's there. She just simply sits there and says, well, I think you got cancer. Like, what are you basing that on? I just have a gut feeling looking you in the face. Okay, but doctor, I came here because I have a laceration on my arm. I know, but I'm sure it's cancer. Because that's how I feel. And this is what we say today increasingly. We know something's true, but it just doesn't feel right. And so we reject it and go with our feelings over what is true and what is real. There's a problem with this because then we begin to accept anything. There's a woman named Ayan Hirsi Ali. She came to prominence when she published her work in 2007, her memoir, Infidel, which is an account of her life as a Muslim woman and her fight against radical Islam. She came out of Islam. She became an atheist. And then just recently, in November of 23, this woman committed to Christ. And she says, in part, it's because it's the only philosophy that helps to address what's going on in our world today. In the same way as we talked last week, Christianity is the only thing that can truly address evil and give us an understanding of it. So this woman writes this way. She says, atheists were wrong when they said rejection of God would usher in a new age of reason and intelligent humanism. But the God hole, she said, the void left by the retreat of the church has merely been filled by a jumble of irrational, quasi-religious dogma. The result is a world where modern cults prey on the dislocated masses, offering them spurious reasons for being and action. This is mostly by engaging in virtue signaling theater, acting out on behalf of a victimized minority or for our supposedly doomed planet. The line often attributed to G.K. Chesterton, she says, has turned into prophecy. When men chose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing, but they become capable of believing in anything. And that's where our society is at today. When we look at this passage of Scripture, there are several statements that are important here. First of all, it begins with saying, look, don't be troubled, but it says, trust in God. Christ says, trust in me. One of the first questions I'd have for you is, do you trust in God? I mean, do you truly trust him? Not just believe in him, but do you trust God? That's one of the most important aspects of what this begins to start with. There's more as we go on to this, but let's stop there for just a moment of time. There are several things in this building that you may not have noticed. And I want to draw your attention to them. This passage says first, trust in God. And then there's a question about which way we're going. And then Jesus makes this statement, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And then it talks about Father and being in the Father and of the Father and all that's a part of that. When you walked into the sanctuary today, for those of you that are in the sanctuary, not in the atrium or not part of our congregation that's online, we have like five congregations now, first, second service in the atrium, like online congregation, I don't know who I'm talking to anymore, but whoever I'm talking to, at least in this group, if you walked in the sanctuary today, you probably didn't notice, but the original entrance of this building is out there and through those four double doors out there, those four sets of doors. And right above that is a stone cornerstone that was on the original exterior of the building. That when we did the atrium concourse, we moved it to the interior. So now as you walk in those set of four doors, you'll look up, if you were, and you will see a stone, written in stone, to the glory of God, 1983, which was the original construction of this sanctuary. To the glory of God. That's what you would see. Why is that up there? That was placed on the original building. It was replaced again inside so it could be seen, because that is the statement that the church wanted to make at that time and that we continue to uphold. Everything we do, whether it is in the Osborne community, whether it is in Costa Rica or overseas, or whether it's in the ministries around this building or this moment right now or whatever's involved, is never to ever, ever be to the glory of a person or persons. We can be appreciative for what work we do and encourage one another as a community. But if this ever becomes about Rock Point, ever becomes about an individual, there's something seriously wrong with what we're doing. What we do, everything, is to be done and is done for the glory of God. Now, you did a much better job, because like first service, like two or three people said, amen, and one tapped the side of the pew. And I rebuked them, okay? And so I appreciate that you're a little more expressive, because yes, everything we do is to be for the glory of God. The other thing that you will probably not have noticed is that as you walk in and out of the main entrances of the building, the north entrance and the main entrance, that on the floor, in the concrete, is a scripture. It's the same scripture at the main entrance, and it's the same scripture at the north entrance. Now, sometimes you might be forgiven for not noticing it, because especially in the wintertime, there's a mat that covers it sometimes so people don't slip and fall and salt gets gathered up and things like this. And also, there's been a little bit of fading maybe over the time. But if you were to look at that and see it, you'll find this passage: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We wrote that in concrete with both locations. We wanted anybody to come across to see that this is our statement, that this is the truth. And we also want to make sure that anybody ever acquires this building afterwards, they're stuck with it, okay? Even if they're theologically in a different direction. Why? Because this passage of Scripture is a center point of understanding and belief. Jesus is talking to the guys, and he's sitting here, and he's making it clear in multiple points of this conversation that, look at, I am God. I am the Father. The Father's in me. I am in the Father. We are one. It's a mystery, but we're together. This is who it is. And I know some of you right now are going to rebuke me, because like, good heavens, it's Mother's Day. You're talking about the Father. I'm sorry. I was stuck with the message. Okay. It's just what it is. He's talking about this. Now, this truth, the idea that Jesus is the way to the Father, that there's no other way. That he's the truth, that he brings life. And then this particular line, no one comes to the Father except through me. This is a problem in modern society, because most systems out there will say there's many different ways, never paths, and here's our sales pitch for our belief and our thing, but you know, the guys down the road don't have anything bad going on either, we'll borrow from them. And Christianity says, no, there is an exclusive statement here. Why? Because we're hateful, horrible people. No, because it's the truth. I was coming back from Dakar years ago from a mission there, and I was in Paris, and I was wiped out because it had been an early morning thing, and I was exhausted, and I checked my gate, and the gate home, and yep, it's there 4 hours beforehand. I'm sitting around for 4 hours. I'm trying to occupy myself. I crashed out for a while. Finally, after 4 hours, I've checked the gate again about an hour beforehand. It's the gate. We're good. I'm being a little obsessive, but I'm careful on international travel, and so I then get in line, and I'm finally there, half hour beforehand and 20 minutes beforehand, and we're getting in line. I'm walking up there, and I got all the way up to the door of the aircraft when they check my ticket and say, "This isn't your flight." And I'm like, "What? Oh no, this is going to Moscow." And I'm like, "No, your gate got redirected. Last minute, they changed the gate. I had to do like planes, trains, and automobiles. I had to catch on like two trams. I had to run through the airport. I had to do, all things. I'm the last person, literally. I had to go down, run across the tarmac, and actually get onto this plane to get home. I came this close to not getting home. I came this close to ending up saying hi to Vladimir, okay? Okay, and having a personal engagement with him. Why? Because there was only one specific flight going home for me that day. And the objective truth is I couldn't have gotten on that plane and said, "Well, that's all right. My ticket's for Detroit. But, it doesn't matter. I'm sure I'll get there. This plane will take me there, right? It's going to take me there, right? No, it will not. Why? Because there is objective truth. There are things that are right. There's things that are wrong. There's only one path to God, and it's through Christ. No other plane's going to take you there. You're going to end up in a lot worse place than Moscow if you get on any other plane with any other name. No one comes through. It's not an arrogance. It's not meant to be exclusionary. It's just the truth. It's just a reality." Talking mechanic. I don't think it's my camber bolts. I don't think it's my camber bolts at all. I think it's my upholstery. No, it's your camber bolts, sir. Have you checked the radio? Well, I think it could be the radio that's causing me to get a little off track here. So like that, it's the camber bolts. I think it might be my right turn indicator. I've been using it pretty heavily lately, and I think if you just balance that out so it makes a left turn a little bit more, then I'll say, "Sir, it's the camber bolts." Ignoring this will cause you to have an accident and veer off the road. Ignoring this will cause wear and tear and degradation of your vehicle. Ignoring this will cause all sorts of issues. You will be out of alignment until you unfreeze those camber bolts. When Christ said, "No one comes to the Father except through me," he was stating truth. And if we don't embrace that truth, we are on the road heading towards disaster. It's interesting that Jesus has an encounter at his trial over truth. John 18, verse 37 through 38, Pilate says, "So you're a king?" And Jesus responds, you say I'm a king. "Actually," he said, "I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth." The king's kind of a side issue, but I came to testify to the truth. He says, "All who love the truth," what? Do you read that? "All who love the truth," what? "Recognize that what I say is true." And then Pilate, in one of the most American modern responses of the cynic, says, "What is truth?" But something impacts him because he says Jesus isn't guilty of any crime. But what is truth? It's subjective. It's a social construct. It's my truth. It's your truth. It's whatever you want it to be. What do you see it as, and how do you see it? Some of you may have seen the movie years ago, Rain Man, and Dustin Hoffman, I think, charged in it. He's a savant who's especially great with mathematical skills and stuff. But he's actually a take on a guy called Kim Peek. Kim Peek is what doctors call a mega savant. A savant possesses remarkable expertise in like 1 to 3 subjects. This guy's got him in at least 15 different subjects, including history, sports, music, space, geography. No one in the world is thought to have a brain and possess a brain as extraordinary as Peek's. He has total recall of, catch this, 9,000 books. Total recall. 9,000 books. It was discovered that, catch this, each of Peake's eyes can read a separate page simultaneously. That's just freaky. I mean, I read really fast, but man, what I could do if I could read with both eyes at the same time. I mean, just, and he's absorbing every word and doing it. In fact, a page could take you 3 minutes to read. He'll do it like 10 seconds and never forget it, ever. He went to a performance one time of Shakespeare's play, The Twelfth Night. And as the play was ending, Peake stood up evidently and said out loud in front of everyone, "You've got to stop it, stop it, stop it." It turned out that the actor had skipped the second to the last verse of the play, and the actor then apologized to him, saying, "The verses are so much alike, I didn't think it would matter." And Peake's response in front of the whole crowd was, "It mattered to William Shakespeare, it should matter to you." How much more so should the Word of God than it's because you can't even hear me. "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does." He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar. And then this statement, recall it, mark it, and the father of lies, the father of lies. "So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me," he says. "You just don't naturally believe me." Let's contrast that with what James tells us in his work. James chapter 1, he says this, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters." Do not be deceived. "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." One text note says, "Who does not change like shifting shadows." Who does not change like shifting shadows. There's a song that this passage of Scripture actually prompted back in the days. And it's entitled, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And the first line goes like this, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." There's no changing with God. Our trends change. Our facts even, sometimes our scientific facts can change as time goes on. Our cultural ones certainly do. But God doesn't change. His truth continues on. And as Chesterton said, "Fallacies do not cease to be fallacies just because they become fashions. God is rooted in truth. We have inscribed in concrete some of these truths. This is what we believe. This is what we have stood upon. And the follower of lies tries to take away whatever captives he can. But James warned us, don't be deceived. As a Christian, your father is not the father of lies. And you do not belong to this shadow land. But your father is the father of light. Your land is heaven, the starkest, deepest, richest reality there can be. All that is true, all that is right, all that is honest, all that is good and pure is found in Christ. And if you find Christ, you have found and seen the Father. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. That is your hope. That is our salvation. And it's to his glory that we stand. Do you trust God? Are you aligned with him and his truth? Do you think twice before you pass on anything? Do you consider things thoughtfully? Do you use good gossip? I've had 3 opportunities recently to go to a friend and say, "I heard some good gossip about you the other day. I heard someone say, you're doing a tremendous job on this thing. Someone said this trait about you that they thought was so cool and so beautiful. I just had to share that good gossip with you. But it's the other stuff that we like. Why? It makes us feel superior? Something else is being torn down, or is it just because of the darkness and evil that rests within us? But for people of light, for the people of truth, it's to be something different. We are supposed to be something different. Who do you trust? Do you lean in to your Heavenly Father? Do you pursue truth? I know for some of you this is very important, so before I conclude, I do have to address the issue. I know that you'll be uncomfortable until I do. I did go to that mom and pop shop, okay, for the car. I bought a couple of parts on the internet, paid like $150 for the parts, took them there, explained the issue, left it with them overnight, and the next day I get the car. And I get it, and they said, you know what? Didn't need the parts. We managed to bang on those things and heat them up, and we unfroze the original parts. So now it all works great. I'm like, so in addition to paying you, I'm also paying for these parts I now can't return, right? Okay, yeah, that's basically what it goes. So they managed to unfreeze the parts, and so I take it back to the place where I'm going to have it aligned at, and they look at it, and they said, you know what? Lo and behold, the parts we couldn't unfreeze, they unfroze. And the car is actually in alignment all by itself now from all the banging that the other guys did. It's great driving a car that's in perfect alignment. You can actually just let go of the wheel and it keeps going. I don't advise that. But it doesn't pull. You can hear this part. It doesn't pull to the left. And it doesn't pull to the right. It doesn't pull to the right, and it doesn't pull to the left. Read that how you want. It goes straight, and it goes true. Are you in alignment today? Truth is not subjective. It's not a social construct. It's not up to the person. It's not a personal perspective. Kim Peake had it right. If it's good enough for Shakespeare, it's good enough for us. If it was good enough for God to put in his word, it's good enough for you and I to have on the heart. Where is your alignment? I want to pray with you for a minute. Father, I pray this morning that you would check us on this. Pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be pulled left or right, that we would be caught with the lies and deception, the evil that's this world, that, Lord, we would embrace you as our Father of lights, that, Lord, with that light, we'd be able to see the truth and understand what's real and what's not, what's worth and what's not. Pray, Lord, that we would be clear in our loyalty and our commitment to you, nothing more, nothing less, and absolutely, positively, nothing else.
You can have Thank you.
Maybe you go out those doors and you turn around and look back. Be careful you don't get rear-ended by someone. And you look at that stone up there, or you see it the next time you walk in, and you remember that everything that's to be a part of this ministry is to be to the glory of God and not an individual or any group of individuals. It's to be to the glory of God. You remember that. And maybe as you walk in next time, maybe on your way out, you look and you see at that entrance that scripture. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth. And you look at all that and you say, you know what? No one else comes to the Father. And in that verse is life. Think of that as you're walking out here and as you go into your work and your week. Continue to guide and shape this place, I pray. We commit these things into your hands and our mothers this day. In Jesus' name, amen.